Are you ready for this?
It's your cricket pod blast. Since we last met, Yorkshire clinched the county championship with another resounding victory, but without Andrew Gale, so good they banned him twice, as the Colpack Gate debate raged on, and he was banned for a further two championship games for not treating Ashwell like a prince. Hampshire pipped Worcestershire to the second division title as the Pears were thumped by Jesse Ryder, and then Paul Grayson, as he claimed Essex would have won promotion were umpires braver with bendy-armed Chuck champion Saeed Ajmal. North Ants were relegated to join Leicestershire, the country's other win-allergic county, along with Lancashire, who failed to bowl out fellow League One strugglers Middlesex in a final day of season battle royale of mediocrity. England came to their senses and reinstated Ravi and embraced the little batting artisan that is James Taylor, as Cook was also confirmed as the next man to lead England to the World Cup, leaving everyone happy except Gary Balance. And cricket's most controversial man, Kevin Peterson, realised his cricket wasn't doing the talking, so decided to start opening his mouth to drop the bombshell that Andy Flower is quite strict and he doesn't really like Matt Prior. Facts so secret that they could only be obtained by reading his Twitter feed. We talk bullies, balls and bails and get our stats out for the end of season awards. It's your all-out cricket pod blast. Oh, that was it. Oh, God. Did you hear that, listeners? That was the sound of cricket. It's the end of season award show. Alex, are you excited?
Enormously excited, as always, and particularly excited because we're recording in a new secret location today. And I've got a peppermint tea in this location. So thank you for that, Joe Harmon. And welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been. Listener emails and tweets coming in constantly. Where is he? He's not up Kilimanjaro. No. Not even as a euphemism. Phil Walker was literally up Kilimanjaro. Welcome back, Phil Walker.
Thank you, Alex.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Ross, so much to get through in this end of season 2014 Pod Blast finale.
So ruddy much.
And we were going to do the end of season awards, but I don't think we can because something's blown up, hasn't it?
What's blown up?
On the Twitter sphere.
So we're going to go for something else first. KP's blown up.
Boom.
Sorry, coming.
Who saw that coming? Everyone saw it coming. It was just a matter of when. And when he did drop the bombshell, there wasn't really that much to talk about, was there? I mean, he doesn't like Anderson and Broad ruled the dressing room. He doesn't really like Matt Prior. The only bombshell being that he thinks other people might not like Matt Prior either.
There seems to be a lot of chat about cheese. That's what I was predominantly getting off social media. The big cheese, Matt Prior, and the little cheeses.
Le Grand Fromage.
Who seem to be the bowlers.
What
but
was
then he keeps going back to... Ooh.
Was he a cheese?
No, he's on the good side. Because one else liked him either.
Because he was
so
being
he's
bullied.
Been lumped in, yeah.
I mean, I did say this. You know, he was being bullied in Sri Lanka. Did you watch Swan just shouting at him? Generally shouting at him. Phil, you ran across Swan. I don't want to drop, you know, names in that maybe don't want to be on the record. All right, but if you could be so bold.
Do it anyway.
Yeah. You were at an event today.
I was at the Oscars, which is outstanding contribution to Club Cricket Awards through the ECB. And
we weren't invited.
No.
Was our invitation lost?
Outstanding. Okay.
Graham Swan was there, and so were some others. And Aggers did his thing, and Swan did his, of course. And scrape away the kind of, that sort of faintly irritating Swanee smile, smugness thing, shtick that he has going on.
Yeah.
You can tell he's a bit saddened and a bit disappointed by the whole thing, to say the least.
Even though he doesn't really cop much criticism.
No, but he says that himself, and he says, you know, I got away with it quite lightly. Mm. He was cracking and joking, you know, and how did he put it? And I'm just going to quote him. I don't care. He said, the greatest work of fiction since Jules Verne. That's how he described.
That's right.
That's very good. Witty turn of phrase, Mr. Swan.
Yeah, he's only been working on for a good
almost
half
as
an
good
hour.
As Mood Hoover. Did everyone else enjoy Mood Hoover?
Yeah.
That's Andy Flower's a Mood Hoover.
That's Peterson on Flower.
Who ghosted this for KP?
David Walsh.
Really?
Who, yeah.
Who did the cycling stories
who
for the Times?
Yeah.
Fantastic journalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's done a good job as well. I mean, I was having extracts read out through the day. I mean, he had very little time to do it. A lot of stuff. Although there's verbatim emails, I believe, in there. They just put text messages and emails verbatim in there.
Oh, that is fruity.
Is that right?
Yeah, which it seems a bit naughty. A bit naughty.
Yeah. Swan was quietly really, really disappointed by the Prior stuff in particular. Mm. And Agnew, who kind of blusters through sitting on the fence, even he lent towards defending Pryor.
Can I ask about Pryor? Are you basically saying that Swan doesn't think that Pryor was a bully? And...
No, not at all.
No, he said
he was on record, and his son Colin comes out on Wednesday when he'll be reiterating the same kind of thing. He says, you know, Pryor is a top man, top team man, one of the all-time great figures that he's ever played with. And Agnew was seconding that as well. Now, you know, in the food chain, I'm outside picking up whatever scraps get thrown to me. But I have met Pryor a few times. And I've met a lot of other cricketers as well who are hubristic, arrogant, full of it, have no way of communicating on a human level. Pryor is absolutely not one of them. I sat next to him at some dinner once, and he was charming, funny, modest, self-effacing. He had a reputation when he was younger, and he's sufficiently self-aware to have eradicated that from his character. Mm. And he's a genuinely decent fella.
And Peterson does seem to have gone back to that as well, which I think... But there to have been this turnaround in Pryor's character that everyone was talking about, there obviously was a change. So to go back and say he was like he was 10 years ago, as he always was, I don't think it makes any sense. And
do you think the Trotty thing is a little bit puzzling? Because with Jonathan Trott, there's some suggestion from Peterson that Trott sort of falls in the camp that's outside the Pryor, Broad, Anderson. Trott is being shouted at when he drops catches or doesn't feel well. Suggests Peterson, I hasten to add. And I think there's something implicit in there. And, you know, and look what happened to Trotty. I warned them about Jonathan Trott. It says Flower came up to him and shook him by the hand afterwards, but he was disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if that's a lie, it's a hell of a lie.
Mm-hmm. But then you can exaggerate any... I don't doubt that incident happened. But then you've got to say, how much warning did Peterson give? Did he just say he's in trouble? Or was he constantly going... This guy's on the verge of something quite serious here. He's picked out the people that you would think would be alienated as well. There's no big surprises in there. Compton, who everyone knows didn't mix in that dressing room well and paid the price for it.
Yeah.
Ravi as well, who's had his difficulties, and Peterson's always been a big fan of his. So there's not any shock here that he's come out and said someone like Trott, because he's an easy person to bring up in that situation. I don't think Trott would necessarily be want to be involved in the way that...
A word on language, if I may. I do think that there's a chance that when you use the word I was horrified instead of I was surprised, they use the word horrified because it's written well and it's a page-turner. But it can completely change the tone of a relatively small incident, can't it? And blow it up.
And that's what this whole thing boils down to, I think, from both sides, really. And that's why it's become so tedious.
Yeah.
There's a few interesting things, no doubt, to read in this book. I was kind of following Twitter for... half an hour or so this morning, I just felt like, no, I wouldn't get too kind of preachy. This isn't what I got into writing about cricket for.
Really? Oh, it's absolutely what I got into following cricket for. I really enjoyed today
on
Twitter.
Just gossip and bitching.
Yeah, exactly. It? Talking about, I mean, we're not accusing anybody of lying. Mm. Just to be utterly clear about this.
No one's lying. Yes.
And actually, of course, Chris Cairns charged with perjury recently. We've spoken to the in-house legal team at All Out Cricket. I think his name's Jeff. And we got a statement in relation to the Chris Cairns thing. Rather than using bleeps, I'm just going to be silent on the bits that we can't say. So Chris Cairns has been charged with perjury. He denies this. He'll stand trial. He has the right to a fair trial. Chris Cairns, the and New Zealand, Frodo, Frilly Knickers, apology. Thanks, Jeff. Listeners, catching the essence of the Chris Cairns development, I think, as we go along. So that's super. Well, that's so much more is going to happen. Ross, you haven't had your tuppence worth.
Sure.
And I'm aware you may have to wait a while, maybe until we've actually even read the book to start opining on it.
Start throwing stuff in.
But why wait till we've read it?
Yeah, look, let's speculate now, for
go
God's
now.
Sake.
Go now, Ross.
I think that everything he says is complete nonsense. Well, what I like is the fact that what were we expecting? It was going to be bad. Everyone's going to be disappointed. So given that they are disappointed, I don't think they're overly disappointed. They're expecting to be disappointed. And they're sort of about as disappointed as they expect.
Predictably
disappointed. That but is... not any more so than they expect. Not horrifyingly disappointed, not even surprisingly disappointed. Just a neutral level of disappointment.
Well, why don't we have a little jingle? And then before we get to awards season, I wanna up the feeling in the room, increase the mood. And there's only one way to do it, and that's checking David Warner's Twitter account.
Let's talk about David Warner's Twitter account.
I mean, this is only brief, I'll be frank. I just wanted to up the mood because the KP thing can be a bit depressing.
Yeah, exactly. Let's lighten it up.
David Warner is back on Twitter. I didn't know this. He is launching a book series in Australia called The Kaboom Kid.
Oh.
It's a series of kids' books, and it stars him as the Kaboom Kid, literally called Little Davy Warner, who's a cricket-mad rascal and the best batsman on his block.
That's brilliant. It also has the dual effect of advertising his bat as well.
That's very cynical. Asia children 8 to 12. And they're going to release it at Christmas and at the ICC World Cup. So thanks, Davey, for that one. That
only
was
8
fun.
To 12?
8 to 12.
What about all those slow-learning 13-year-olds?
Exactly. If you're 13, it's too stupid for you.
Why has it always got to be negative with Davey? Why don't we go to another happy story, which is Freddie Flintoff is hitting the road with his fish and chip van for a new TV show.
My God, what a
talk
about
this
one.
Yeah.
This is the cricket legend is filming for his new show, Flintoff, Lord of the Fries.
Brilliant.
Yeah. That sounds good.
So I don't get it.
The man with absolutely no pension plan or long-term financial planning has mastered the problem again. If you were to go to your financial advisor, Joe, and say, listen, I haven't saved a penny, I've got a family, I've got a mortgage, get a chip van, get a TV camera, Joe's...
Also, I'm prepared to let people punch me in the face repeatedly, as long as there's a good paycheck at the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, what's your going rate then, Joe?
What, to get punched in the face? I said that with a bit of menace.
Yeah,
it's been a long day.
How much, Joe? How much? It's all got a bit tense.
I've got a 20 on me.
Another jingle.
Pod blast. Yeah. No, let's jump in with the awards. Heroes of the season, it's our awards of the season 2014. It was a season. Okay. Well, it's been much debated on Twitter who are going to win the All Out Cricket Pod Blast Awards for the 2014 season. The first category we've got. I'd like you all to start thinking about your nominations. I'm sure you've...
Start thinking now.
If you haven't thought of one for Unsung Hero of 2014, first of all, I'm going to go to you. Who's your nomination? Joe Harmon.
Can I just ask how does this work? Are we going to vote again at the end of every section?
Yeah. That's what we did last time.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's democracy.
My Unsung Hero is the... most valuable player in the county championship, which suggests they have been sung. But he, despite that, he still remains unsung.
Unsung,
His name is Steve McGoffin.
Yes.
You might have heard of him. He takes lots of wickets.
Yeah.
Aussie seamer.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like much when you see him.
What, his face?
I didn't mean that, but that's a bit awkward because he's not a looker. But but he took a lot of wickets. Mm-hmm. Despite not looking great in either face or action.
Yeah,
actually, he is but ugly now, I think about it.
Mm. Oh, my God.
If there's any consolation to you, Joe, if you're wondering, you know, I picked McGoffin, people are going to judge me. Twitter, Lakeside Lizzie. Agrees. McGoffin, Unsung Hero of the Year.
Unsung Hero of the Year,
And
he's a gorgeous man, in my opinion. Other opinions are available. McGoffin, terrific. Do you know how many wickets he took this season?
Yeah, I've got 72 first-class wickets at
19.
He also Opta picked their county championship team of the year for us this year, and they put him in there, saying they gave lots of good stats, which I can't remember. But basically, he is a strike bowler and a stock bowler all in one, which there aren't too many of those about. So, Stephen McGoffin.
Lovely.
And a guy that's had a terrific career in terms of coming to Worcester, not being so successful and finding his way in county championship cricket in England and being great, great success over the years.
Can I make my nomination for this? Stealing Jamie Cook from Twitter's nomination because I agree.
Mm.
I didn't know beforehand. Jamie educated me. Chris Rushworth.
Yeah.
Overshadowed really by Onions' 70-odd last season. And then the absence of Onions just goes and bloody does it again with God knows how many wickets towards the end of the season. Helping to keep Durham up, keeping Durham safe.
Yeah.
Chris Rushworth, keeping Durham
good shout.
Safe.
And hasn't touched a drop all summer.
Really?
Yeah, so for charity, Astros. He's having a dry year. And the way that Durham lads are talked about, I think that's quite a big deal for him.
Big deal for Rushworth.
And he's staying dry for good.
Yeah. So he's not the sort of man that's only good after a beer, after two.
Well, that was the worry.
Was that?
He's even better.
He's beaten those rumours.
He's just 15 wickets in a day against Northampton.
Yeah, right. Jamie Cook says should be in the England reckoning.
Is this Jamie Cook Arctic Monkeys? Jamie Cook.
I'll ask him.
It could be
lead guitarist.
Jamie Cook, are you the lead guitarist of the Arctic Monkeys? Phil Walker,
hello.
Who is your nomination? I'll go last.
Well, I've actually gone for Samit Patel.
Terrific.
Yeah.
We all know about Samit, but we've kind of forgotten about Samit because Samit's story is now a year and a half, 2 years out of date. Mm-hmm. He was famously pretty miserable at the start of the summer, and having looked at it on paper, been treated maybe slightly shoddily by England. You could have forgiven him for being a bit sulky this year, but he's got the best part of 1,100 championship runs yet again, and with a higher strike rate than anyone else who's got 1,000 runs this year. So I thought it was quite telling. Sorry, in Division 1. Yeah. So I thought that was quite telling, really. You know what he is as a one-day player as well. And in the whole shakedown of England's new era, Samit's just not really got a mention. The only person that I can think of who's mentioned him is Dean Wilson, who's his biggest number one fan. I think
the Mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, big Dino. And he is a huge fan of Samit. With good reason. I mean, you know, he's a class player. And in all the talk about where England are going to end up, there's not been any mention of Samit. He's just gone ahead and done his stuff and done it brilliantly as ever.
And that's with Mick Newell on the selection panel now as well. You'd think he'd be fighting his corner.
Yeah.
But who knows what goes
on. Sorry, and just one related to Samit, Vessels as well, who is in the middle order alongside him. And again, because of his heritage, I think, he never really gets discussed, you know, when it comes to weighing things up, you know, around the England squads and so on.
Another terrific season.
But he's a class player. Yeah. He's a really, really class really player. Player. And he gets important runs as well. He gets important runs from 5 and 6.
Can I do a yes or no question? Because I know we've got Ross's nomination.
Sure.
Just yes or no, do Division 1 runs now and Division 1 wickets count for more than they ever have before as compared to Division 2, definitely, in your opinion?
Definitely. Yeah, they have to. I think Moeen's the exception that proves the rule, really.
You see what happens to a side like Northants who get promoted and then go down in the way
or
they
Lancashire,
have.
Or Lancashire, up and down. Yeah, I completely agree. Division 1 runs, and this is why Vince, next season, that's going to be an interesting season for Vince. All right, Ross, your nomination on Unsung Hero.
Well, having knocked me down with the talk of second division runs and wickets, I'm going to go for Foot It at Derbyshire.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just think they had an absolutely terrific season, played for not a very fashionable county, but and not one that had a great season. But he took 82 wickets.
That's incredible, isn't it?
At around 19, and he's going to be in the England performance setup, and has certainly deserved that place.
He was Optus bowler of the year. He's also taken the highest percentage of wickets of any bowler of their team in the country as well. I mean, he's just taken all of Derbyshire's wickets for him. And he's interesting. I mean, he was on the scene a long time ago as a kind of rapid left arm quick. Who sprayed it around a bit, and now he's come back and can still bowl quick spells. But we had a chat with him for this magazine, and he's learned to slow it down a bit when he needs to. There's some county pitches that it's not worth trying to break your back and bowl 90 miles an hour.
Yeah,
he's signed a new contract with Derbyshire and is adamant he can play for England whilst he plays for Derbyshire, which I don't think they've had a debutant for 20 years, almost 20 years, which was Dominic Cork.
Yeah,
it's a big call.
Great
stat.
If anyone can do it, he can do it with those stats.
Strange thing that none of our nominations really were transformative in terms of what their team did this season. We've got sort of Notts and Derbyshire and Durham and Sussex.
It's how you end up unsung, though, isn't it? Being a great player.
Not singing, that's right.
Anything.
Okay.
Well said.
Shall we have a vote?
We're not going to vote for our own. I think I might vote for someone else's.
I'm going to vote for somebody else's.
How do we do this?
I think we should vote for yes or no on Foot It. Does anybody disagree?
Well, I was going to go Samit.
I was going to be straight to Rushworth. Let's call it a draw.
What were you going to go for?
For me, I would go for Foot It because I think it's an interesting story. Yeah. 5 years ago, he was seen as the quickest young kid around, and his career just stagnated, you know. And to see him come back, I'm sorry, there's some really good players in second division cricket. If you look at the top sixes, you know, there's not, all right, you take out one or two lowly counties, there's still some really good players in there. To take the wickets that he did, I would go with Foot It myself.
Unsung hero of the year, Foot It.
Job done.
Best spinner of 2014.
May I begin with this one? I'm saying Saeed Ajmal completely transformed Worcestershire's season. Indeed, that's what Grayson's been complaining about. Dare I say the word Tevez? You know, Sheffield United, West Ham, illegally playing in the Premier League. Sheffield United go down, compensation, etc., etc. You know, Grayson maybe is a West Ham fan, he's aware. He hears it. Plus, is he looking for excuses? Essex haven't been promoted again.
He's definitely doing that.
He's definitely looking for excuses. Ajmal, just for transforming a season for a side. Best spinner 2014 nomination for me.
And I think I'm going to go off the bat of that. Moeen Ali. I mean, Moeen Ali's a terrific player. He's learnt so much for England. You can't leave him out of this one. He just couldn't be England's spinner. And then suddenly he is. He's taking wickets. He's bowling out India with finger spin. What an incredible start to his international career.
I'm going to go with Jeetan Patel. Taken over 100 wickets across all competitions this year.
Incredible.
Almost single-handedly won them the Royal London One Day Cup. Yep. Leading wicket taker, I think, in the 2020 as well. Scored some runs. And he's the best, I think he's the best one-day bowler in the country now. New Zealand have got to get him.
I was about to ask, what's going on with
New
Zealand?
Well, they asked him to play. They asked him to tour West Indies early this year, and he didn't fancy it. He wanted to stick around and play county cricket. And I mean, New Zealand cricketers don't get paid that much. I wouldn't imagine it's particularly worth his while, unless there's that kind of burning desire to play for his country, to go and play a couple of tests in the West Indies. Hopefully, they can get him around for the World Cup, because
do they want to, or are they? I mean, if it was England, he just wouldn't be on the radar because he hasn't gone through the system, the process, etc.
Well, he's played quite a bit for them and never done particularly well, but he's a significantly better bowler now than he was when he last played.
Who have they got in the spinner role at the moment?
Well, Vittori will probably play the World Cup.
They've got McCullum.
That's it, really. Oh, they had Williamson, but
they've got such
start
good spinners.
Left arm, apparently.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, they brought through Cullen, the spinner who played against the West Indies, and he took loads in the Test match. He was unplayable.
We'll figure it out.
Come back to that. Come on, Craig.
Craig.
There you go.
He's got a first class bowling average about 45. New Zealand always do this, though.
And yet he was unplayable in that Test match.
Phil Walker, your nomination.
Adil Rashid for me.
46
first class, 46 championship wickets. Also key, only one fiver, which suggests that he's taken regular wickets. You know, he's not just got on a Bunsen and taken 15 in the match. He's taken regular wickets everywhere he's gone. And the key thing for me that really jumps out is that his economy rate is just over 3, which is very respectable.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I have it here in front of me. Overall, I think his story is a really positive and fascinating one, really. And to see him in the performance squad, which essentially is the stiffs for the Sri Lanka tour, and from what I hear, he's going to play a couple of games in Sri Lanka.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's absolutely the right decision. And a nod related to this to Andrew Gale and to Gillespie as well. Now, we did a big Yorkshire piece in the upcoming magazine, and they spoke brilliantly about how they've dealt with Rashid, and unlike a lot of leaders in English county cricket, they've given him his head, they've allowed him to express himself, they've given him the right fields, and they've encouraged him to attack. They haven't kind of fallen back to that myopic English thing of, okay, right, well, you've got a deep square leg and a deep point, and you know, you've got 4 on the boundary and just try and contain. You know, they've given him that chance, you know, to be that match winner. He's now mature, but he's still only about 26, 27, I think.
But he's just, Gail said, he's got married, had a kid, grown up a lot over the last few years. So I spoke to him when I was in South Africa in 2010. It was meant to be a face to face at the hotel, which he cancelled. Then we did it over the phone, and it was like speaking to a scared little boy. And he couldn't articulate. I was trying to speak to him about the specifics of his bowling, and he couldn't articulate anything at all. And he had a rough couple of years after that, really rough couple of years. And even Yorkshire lost a bit of faith in him for a while.
He came out and said that.
Yeah, the start of the season before last, he came out and said, I'm thinking of leaving.
Yeah.
I remember it got put in one of the nationals, but they ran it 3 months after he'd said it, and by then he'd actually made up with them.
And his batting's come on great as well.
Yeah.
So,
his batting's been good for 3 years now. At the start of the summer, I banged on about Borthwick. Borthwick doesn't get enough overs under his belt, and in speaking to one or two people who really do know his game well, they say he's a cracking all-round cricketer, but he just bowls too many bad balls. Now, we probably knew that already on reflection.
Yeah,
I have a soft spot, a weakness for leggies, but I do genuinely think that in this England team, the setup as it is, the structure of the team, there is a space for a fantasy player. And Rashid may well become that man. They go out to the West Indies for 3 test matches. They'll play on spinning, dry, cracked minefields, Give the boy a go.
Well, if they play two, Ali he plays Rashid. Now, don't they? They're not going to play Kerrigan and Moen together.
I think Rashid, particularly his form in the 50 over game as well, just means that he's leapfrogged Treadwell and Kerrigan.
Yeah, highest wicket taker, certainly up to the final week or two of the 50 over tournament.
Yeah, it was just Patel just nicked it.
Pipped him with his excellence. So, but who are we going to go for? The spinner? I mean, I'm going to jump ship towards Rashid just because of that emotional speech.
I'm going to pick Rashid before Phil stolen off me, so I'm happy to go back again.
Okay, I'd have been defeated on this. I'd been convinced by Moen Ali, but you know, three against one.
Yeah,
it is the majority.
But we're going to go with
the tyranny of the masses, and it's Adil Rashid, spinner of the year 2014. Congratulations, Adil! Your free subscription to All Out Cricket magazine
is already established.
Is already
digital though.
Come on, then. Let's be Avenue, Alex. Who do you think will get the award, the Carberry Award? Further, he'll probably get three tests and then be dropped in 2015.
What's going to happen here, and it's my fault, is a classic failure of defining the question thoroughly enough.
Sure.
So the Carberry Award for three more tests, suggests for some reason that he'll only get three tests. Of course, Carberry didn't only get three tests in total. And also, this person has already played loads of tests.
Right.
But my nominee,
I see.
Caveats aside,
sure,
is Liam Plunkett. Liam Plunkett, unfortunately, because I'm a fan, is going to play approximately three more tests for England. And then Finn is going to take over on a full-time basis. Injury struck at a bad time for old Carb. Not Carbs, Plunkett. Injury struck at a bad time for both of them, arguably. So Plunkett is my nominee in this ill-defined, nebulous category.
He's got three more tests, though, we say.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go for Adam Live. Not to be negative about him being dropped, but just because of the simple fact that if you score the most runs in Division 1, you seem to get to play for England. That's quite a nice rule, I think, and I think Live will get the shot, whether he takes it.
And you also think that he'll be a failure.
I don't actually think he'll be a failure. Again, this nebulous category
seems early to write
back
him off.
To bite our asses. So early to write him off. Such is the category. But Live has the chance. I hope he succeeds.
I took it as they will end their career with three test caps for England.
Yeah.
I'm going with Simon Kerrigan, who's obviously got the one already.
Yeah.
I think he'll take enough wickets in county cricket to get another chance. Mm. And I think probably he'll be shown not to be quite good enough when he does get that chance.
Yeah.
Not because he's rubbish or anything. I know people have
done turn it far enough.
Mm. But it's just, well, I think he is meant to be an attacking spinner. And he's taken, what I wrote this down as well, 44 first class wickets, which was more than I thought. But at 35, he's bowled a lot of overs. And Moen's not going to get worse from here. And as we've talked about, Rashid, a leg spinner is a really exciting option to polish off the tail. I think Kerrigan might slide down that pecking order.
Okay, Phil Walker.
I don't really know.
Yeah, it's a...
That's my honest answer to this peculiar question.
That's the essence of the question.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very speculation.
Yeah. It would be
I'm
wrong.
I'm going to give you... Yeah. I'm going to give you Jimmy Taylor. For the sake of debate, really. Mm. He's played two test matches, I think. I can see a broken finger. I can see Jimmy brought back in and much hilarity ensuing when they realise quite how small he is. And I think I can even envisage a kind of unfortunate comical finger breaking, you know, in the second dig.
A lot of fingers going down here.
I can just see Hoppedom all summer next year. Mitchell Johnson's playing, isn't he?
I see.
And the thing with Jimmy T, I'm unconvinced that he's a top class 4-day, 5-day player myself. I think he's an excellent 1-day player. I think he'll play probably quite a lot of cricket for England in the one day format, but I'm not quite sure about the test stuff. But I think he'll do all right for England over the winter, and I think that they'll throw him a test match next year, and I think he might be found wanting.
Well, after that bombshell in the amorphous three more tests, make of it what you will category, who's our winner in that lot? I mean, who do we? I quite like the Kerrigan one for the
Kerrigan
for the
makes
truism.
Sense.
Yeah,
Kerrigan
the
makes
truism,
sense because
I do
there's
think...
always.
I haven't won one yet either.
No,
think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
There's always a desperate spinner at the end at
that's
the Oval.
True. That's true. Let's okay.
Well, is that congratulations to Simon and your subscription?
Simon,
consider it done.
Keep
Simon.
On going. Listen, we've got one more category.
Yeah, let's go straight into it, Ross.
Yeah, it's best transfer of the year so far as we look forward to the 2015 season. Janice Faced looking back while looking forward.
Right. What a reference!
All right, I'll jump in here. He's signed for... Samantha actually, Jones. I'm going to start with a bit of trivia. So this person, who is the best transfer, is the eighth best one-day bowler in the world.
Oh!
I like it.
Eighth best one-day bowler in the world.
I've already read my notes, Bill.
So he must be an international.
Brilliant.
Good stats.
And he's transferred.
Yeah, all right. Shall I speed us
up
a bit?
Yeah, go on.
Clint Mackay, who has signed for Leicestershire, who have had a shocking time of it, lost all their players. But what they've really lacked this year is someone who can take any wickets at all.
Yeah.
And he's going to be their MacGuffin. He's going to take a ton of wickets in Division 2.
Are the Aussies coming for the Ashes? Basically, all those guys, they want to be around, they want to be playing because they want to be, if an injury strikes, does Clint Mackay think he's...
Well, I suppose if he's taken 40 first-class wickets in the first five games, then maybe. I think he's a bit of a way off that. He's 31. He doesn't really look like a test bowler. I think he falls into that MacGuffin, Hogan category of...
Yeah, just bloody lots good bowlers. Ruddy good bowlers. All right, jolly good.
Talking of ruddy good bowlers, he's a ruddy good batsman too. I'm going to go for Will Gibbon. We talk about Will Gibbon quite a lot on the show, and I want to continue that tradition. He's got ridiculous stats, still got a bowling average of around 22 and a batting average of around 40. What better sort of player are you going to get than Will Gibbon? He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely. Phil?
Good shout. Who am I going for? Best transfer? Well, for me, Ben Foulkes has gone to Surrey, and it's another one where Essex has just kind of let another talent through the net. And Tymal Mills is off as well, and we don't know where he's going yet, but we've heard a few rumours. He's definitely off somewhere. Well, Worcester is a suggestion, and I think Sussex is a suggestion as well. It'll probably be neither, but that's what we've heard. Mm-hmm. Either way, he's
off. He's going somewhere.
Yeah, he's definitely going. He's going to go from
one place, and he's going to go to another place.
If we did have a failure award, then I think I would have to give it to Essex's administrators.
Yeah.
Because once again, they've let too much talent just drain away from that club.
Haven't Leicestershire beaten them to that award? Because that comes under my nomination. Shiv Thakur going to Derbyshire. Derbyshire, perfectly pleasant county, not got a problem with Derbyshire, but if you've got any form of ambition and you're at Leicestershire, you go to Nottinghamshire. That's the rule. Derbyshire. Shiv, not Derbyshire. But Leicester, coming back, you know, are they competing with Essex?
I know what you're saying, but Essex are a more established, well supported, richer and more successful in recent years county than Leicester are.
Yes.
And there's always a dark cloud hanging over these players who depart from Essex. Whereas with Leicester, I think it's more straightforward economics. And people tend to leave with a heavy heart. Whereas with Essex, they're running out the door. And for how much longer this can go on, I don't know. But as an Essex boy myself, you know, it does baffle me. And Ben Foulkes is one of the best young players in England. And I know he hasn't had a great 2 years stats-wise, but he is absolutely acknowledged as a top player, and he's gone to the Oval, and he's going to score a lot of runs, and he's going to catch a lot of catches. And Tymal is off as well. Essex said that they offered him a contract, and I don't doubt that for a second. But if you've got the fastest bowler in England, firstly, you give him a few games, even if he is going at four and a half and over. And he wasn't too disastrous as well back in May. I mean, he affected games. He took three fers here and there, didn't he? To let those two go.
Has he been fit all season?
No, he's been in for most of it, but he barely played a game last year, really. And Ferry was going around the park a bit, but you've got to give him some chances. There's enough cricket out there.
Yeah. Selectoral merry-go-round because, you know, rumours about obviously our favourite Stephen Davis down at Surrey. Ben Foulkes is now coming in. Mm-hmm. And also Bates being released by Hampshire. Mm. Which will kill some of the Hampshire fans who adore Bates.
Yeah,
it's a classic glovemanship.
Yeah, best keeper in the country.
Yeah, where's Bates going to go?
He needs a keeper.
That's a question. Well,
there's not many spots.
Not many spots.
I mean, Lancashire.
Surrey can do with another one.
In the absence of Butler, Lancashire? That's... Or they've got a young upcoming keeper, I hear, though. Yeah. So
they have Davis. Alex Davis is, meant to be good.
They also have the best young player in England by a mile. In Hamid, who is a 17-year-old opening bat, who we may have mentioned on the show before, but he should be one of the players of the year. He made, against South Africa under-19s, he made two 97s and 125 in five games.
Oh, yeah.
He's a slip of a lad, right-hand opening bat. We've spoken to people up in Lancashire, and they say he's the best kid in the generation. He's a name to really look out for.
Yeah,
very, very exciting.
Okay, so nomination, best transfer.
Who wins that, guys? Pick the bones out of
that one. If you're going to choose it on who's got the biggest result as a club, I would say that Derbyshire have won it by getting Shiv.
You're
that's a
making
result,
a case for
it?
Your
he,
guy.
He is a fine young player, and I can see where you're coming from there. I mean, he's probably a first division player.
Yes.
And you haven't won one yet. So that's the way this works.
Well, yeah.
That's actually how democracy works.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
You haven't won a vote yet.
Yeah.
So
it's Shiv Thacker.
Capital punishment, you're in.
Well done, Shiv.
Mm-hmm. Your subscription to All Out Cricket magazine was unfortunately lost in the post because you didn't give us a forwarding address.
Oh, Shiv.
We just sent it to Derby. Shiv in Derby. It'll make its way. They like that in Derby, aren't they?
They're kindly. What next? News? Anything else? Let's have a sting.
Oh, we've been interrupted by the jazz, sadly. No time for chucking gate. And we had a particularly impassioned reader write into us, Mike, about chucking. Perhaps we'll pick up in the next episode, listeners. Don't miss it. Very quickly, best beard in the county championship, Ross?
It's got to be Moeen or Tomlinson.
Moeen or Tomlinson. Quick vote.
Tomlinson.
Okay. Paul Grayson, you got a beard?
He needs one.
Are his days numbered, though, Phil?
Unless he gets a beard.
Ashley Giles has got the job at Lancashire.
Great!
Good news! Without a beard. Doesn't even need a beard. Well done, Jarlo.
Phil, you've been up Kilimanjaro. You did it for a cause. What was that cause?
The cause was my own self-aggrandisement.
That's good.
Cancer research, tusk, ivory stuff.
Can people still sponsor you?
Very, very much so. And crucially, the Rwandan Cricket Foundation. We're building a national stadium out there. I'm going out there in March.
Oh, yeah.
I went up the mountain. I have to say, I strolled it. I got man of the match up the top. And now I'm back down with a bump, to say the least.
More good news. Not that you're back down with a bump. You were man of the match.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you did it for us.
Cheers, boys.
What another
we didn't want to be embarrassed by him, did we?
No, we didn't.
I'd never show you up.
That's 2014. And now, wait us.